Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need to get ready for Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back because they know small businesses can make a big difference. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tasty Trade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Tonight on CNBC, an economy besieged in a river of turmoil. And Main Street is fighting back. From kitchen table concerns to the CEO moving mountains, master this market with a down-home dive from the Quad Cities you can't afford to miss. Our CNBC special, Inflation USA, starts right now.
And welcome to the CNBC special, Inflation USA. Jim Cramer is off tonight. I am Brian Sullivan. And tonight, we have come to the heartland of America, Davenport, Iowa, to bring you news and stories that you are not going to hear anywhere else. But before we get to all that, let's get to what was a big market day and your money. Stocks, they powered higher. The Dow up 517 points. The NASDAQ getting the better of it, up 2.7%, with 10 of the 11 major S&P groups in the green, led by consumer companies like Homebuilders. So, it was a good day for investors, but even with the gains of the last few days, it has been a rough year. And much of the reason that stocks have struggled is pretty easy to understand. It is inflation, higher prices hitting your wallet and impacting nearly everything from farming to fuel to used cars, even to French fries. Because while it is getting so expensive to fill up your gas tank, it is much bigger than that. And you are feeling it, and you are worried about it. We know that. From a new survey by Pew Research, it shows that inflation is the number one worry for American households right now, by far, not just economically, with 70% of you expressing concern about it, far more than even being worried about health care or crime. Look at that. We have not seen something like this in 40 years because we have not seen inflation like this in 40 years, which is also causing the Federal Reserve to react, raising interest rates and setting borrowing costs higher. It is in many ways a nervous time. So we are here in Davenport, Iowa, a local brew pub, to learn, to listen, and to tell some of the big economic stories happening right now. You're going to hear from the CEO of farm equipment maker CNH, the CEO of Travel Centers of America, as well as the largest barge company on the Mississippi, and the owner of a single-family restaurant just trying to stay in business. It is going to be a busy hour. So let's kick it off with some local voices in the heartland to find out how they are navigating runaway inflation right now.
I'm more careful with what to buy. Before, I didn't even think twice about, oh, I get this butter, like premium one. But now I just go down a little bit, you know.
I can see where it's hurting a lot of owner-operators right now. You know, it's pretty tough on them. A lot of companies, small companies, 5-10 trucks have been closing their doors because they just can't afford the cost of running anymore.
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and the fuel prices are just outrageous. So, and the grocery prices are skyrocketing.
So as you just heard, truck drivers really feeling the pressure of higher fuel costs. These are the crucial men and women that keep our country running, literally, and they keep the goods on store shelves. One company with a pulse on all of this is Travel Centers of America, the nation's biggest publicly traded full-service truck stop chain. And let us bring in our first guest this hour. That is John Perchik. He is the CEO of TA. John, good to have you on the program. Listen, it's a frustrating time. What are you seeing as the supplier of food and fuel and supplies for the men and women on the roads? What are you seeing around inflation right now?
Well, hey, Brian, and thanks for having me. You know, in terms of inflation, our business breaks up into two main components: truckers trucking, and we see that through diesel volumes, and then motorists motoring. We see that through gasoline volumes. You know, on the trucking side, truckers are still trucking. They're feeling the pinch, there's no question, but the activity is robust, and we're seeing it in our diesel gallons. The motorist side, motorists are being more cautious. I think they are first to react. But on the trucking side, we still continue to see activity across our business. We're seeing it in our C-store. Inflation is out there. There's no doubt about it. And it's affecting the motorists, I think, to a greater extent. But on the truck service business and just diesel volumes in general, we continue to see great activity.
Well, that's good news, John, because we need them on the road to literally keep the wheels of America and the American economy going. Do you think, John, in your experience, there is any kind of a breaking point, a dollar value at which diesel costs will get so high that many truckers may simply pull off the road?
You know, like anything in life, I mean, there's a break point for anything. I don't know that we're there. It certainly doesn't feel like it in terms of the performance of our business and what we're seeing, you know. And so, of course, there's a break point for anything. We're just not seeing it. We're not seeing it at this point.
Yeah, and of course, there's a lot of blame going around. We hear it, obviously, on the political side as well, John. A lot of concern about gouging. Let's just make it clear right now on how you guys and people like you run their business. You do not set, in most cases, the prices of diesel fuel enough that you would be able to gouge America's truckers, do you?
Boy, I really appreciate the opportunity to address that. Our business, and I mean this literally, we make cents on the dollar on diesel, cents on the dollar. If we were to squeeze out every ounce of what we make in terms of pennies per gallon, that would not be noticeable or barely noticeable. We're talking pennies on the dollar in terms of what consumers are paying at $4, $5, $6. So that is something I appreciate the opportunity to address. It's really a supply issue and to some extent, government policy and perceptions around future government policy, in my, you know, sort of humble opinion, are what's at play here.
Well, let's talk about it, John, because there's real concerns about supply, particularly in the northeast of the United States. I know you've got a presence there, Pennsylvania, parts over that way. Number one, is there any real risk of pumps, diesel fuel, running dry this summer? And number two, we had some stories out today that maybe the Biden administration is looking to get some idled refineries running again. It's a hard business right now. Do you think we will get more refineries up and running?
You know, on the first point, we have not had outages at all. In the 3 years I've been running our company through this transformation, we've had three moments in time: a Colonial Pipeline, the Texas storms about a year and a half ago where we were having to ration. We've not had to do that. We have a great team. We have a lot of scale that gives us flexibility in terms of staying wet, meaning keeping full supply so we don't have to ration. So thus far, we've been doing just fine on that front.
Do you think we're going to get more refineries either built or reopened or open, John?
You know, I don't have any special insight into that. I would certainly hope so. That would address and allay and alleviate some of these concerns, both the reality and the, maybe more importantly, the perceptions related to supply and how people respond or react to that. So I'd certainly hope so.
You know, you're also a grocery store in many ways, John. I mean, you supply food and convenience store items and shampoo and toothpaste to the truckers. And by the way, families making cross-country trips. Do you see from your perch any sign of an impending recession?
I wouldn't go that far to say an impending recession. We've had a great first quarter this year. We're really, frankly, this is a great timing for what you're doing here, Brian, because we're obviously in a couple days, we're going into the holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, one perspective is we're going to see the summer motorists doing the Chevy Chase vacation kind of trip as an alternative, a cheaper alternative than, you know, flying by air, where costs have really gone through the roof as well. So, frankly, we'll see just what happens this summer in terms of the summer motorists. But we're pretty optimistic in terms of what we're about to see over this next weekend. And, you know, early signs in terms of our digital marketing campaigns and what have you and interest levels are pretty high. So we'll see shortly.
We're here to talk about inflation, John. Where you sit buying everything you buy, whether it's food, whether it's fuel, whether it's, I don't know, chemicals, whatever it may be, do you see any signs that inflation may have peaked?
Look, I certainly hope so. We've been tracking inflation now since, you know, very, very carefully, month over month, since last August, September. And you watch the CPI and then the PPI increasing and increasing and increasing. Finally, there was a pinnacle moment, probably tied to Ukraine, as we got into March and April. And I'm certainly hopeful and maybe a little optimistic that at least we've seen the peak of it. It doesn't mean there wouldn't be a persistence at some level beneath that, which is still high. But I'm hopeful and maybe a little optimistic that we've seen the actual pinnacle and we'll see some alleviation as we get through into the summer.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hope the same thing, John, that it's maybe an up and a down rather than an up, and then it just stays high across the board. John Perchik, he is the CEO of Travel Centers of America. Ticker symbol is TA. John, thank you very much for joining us here on CNBC. Appreciate it. All right, we are just getting started on this CNBC special, Inflation USA. You're welcome. And we're going to be back in less time than it takes you to fill up your tank.
Coming up, head down Main Street with Brian Sullivan as he visits a small business owner in the heart of the American economy. Plus, rolling on the river, answers to inflation on the open water. And we hear from a CEO with an industrial-sized challenge tonight on CNBC.
One in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
One in eight, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And welcome back to our CNBC special, Inflation USA. Well, here we are in a local brew pub in Davenport, Iowa, and we may not have a whole lot in common, but one area we do have in common, we are all seeing and feeling the real-world impact of rising costs for food. The price of food rising again last month with a tab for wheat, coffee, corn, meat, all higher. Now, of course, some of this is a result of Putin's war in Ukraine, particularly hitting wheats, grains, and fertilizer costs. But it's not just that. It's also being caused by trucking, labor shortages, and even a bird flu outbreak. On an annual basis, the food index was up a whopping 9.4% from last year, one of the biggest year-over-year jumps we have ever seen. So we caught up with the local restaurant owner just across the river here in Rock Island, Illinois, who says the rising costs of food and labor is hurting his bottom line big time.
I am having a hard time getting some of my items here. And one of the things that we're having a hard time getting, I do serve a lot of sandwiches. And I just got notice that our bread company will not be delivering our bread anymore because of the fuel costs.
Will Clay opened the doors of Pee Wee's restaurant 5 years ago after his father passed away from cancer. And he says it's not just the spike in fuel costs hitting his bottom line.
Our cooking oil price went up three times as much. And we thought that, wow, that's pretty unusual. What are we going to do now?
And Will's been trying to battle the increased costs by going store to store, try to find lower prices for ingredients he needs to make everything from the shrimp po' boy to the homemade cornbread and fried chicken. But eventually, he had to make a tough call.
We did have to make not a drastic increase in price, but we did have to make an increase in some of our prices.
Which has not gone unnoticed.
I had a customer that came in yesterday, and he's the first customer that mentioned, wow, your prices went up.
Another issue the Rock Island native is facing, the cost of labor. which is also in short supply.
We're in a state now where our minimum wage also went up. So not only my food cost is going up, but my labor cost is going up as well. That's one of the reasons why actually my restaurant is currently just a takeout restaurant, because I cannot find enough help to open my restaurant and serve my customers the way that our customers are used to being handled here at Pee-wee's with a lot of love.
And Will Clay opened up that restaurant in honor of his late father, who passed away about 5 years ago, as you heard. And think about that. His cost for oil for the fryer has tripled, and he can't find workers. He would like to have a full-service restaurant, but cannot. Oh. What is not just the Pee-wees of the world that are getting slammed in food. Even the biggest restaurant players are getting squeezed, and their stocks are getting smoked. Brinker, which owns Chili's, down more than 50% in the past year. You got Restaurant Brands, the parent company of Tim Hortons and Burger King, sinking about 25%. And Darden, of Olive Garden fame, down about 11%. In fact, most restaurant stocks are down pretty big. Our best to Will Clay and Pee-wee's. All right, on deck. Maybe a riddle. What do a bar owner, a banker, and a realtor all have in common? Well, you're going to have to meet them to find out. Plus, check this out.
Coming up after the break here on Inflation USA, we're here on the Mississippi River to talk about why this industry, barges, shipping, tugboats, that doesn't get any attention, is so critical to inflation and the entire supply chain of America. That's next.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back to the CNBC Special Hour, Inflation USA. We are here in the heartland, Davenport, Iowa, hard up against the mighty Mississippi River. It's like the Interstate 95 of the Midwest, with thousands of ships and barges hauling goods up and down its waters every day. One company that does just that is American Commercial Barge Lines. They move grains, petroleum, fertilizer, even cement and steel across more than 7,000 miles of U.S. inland waterways. Fuel alone accounts for up to 30% of their costs. Some of those tugs hold 10,000 gallons, and their fuel costs have doubled in a year. We caught up with CEO Mike Ellis to hear about how all of this is hitting one of the most critical aspects of the American supply chain.
Just to give you an example, 25 to 30% of our cost to move a ton 1 mile is fuel. So our cost, you know, 25 to 30% of our total cost has over doubled. So you can imagine what that does on for us to try to price that out to the market. And in addition, you know, with steel costs up so much, new builds are down, right? So the supply and demand of barges are tightening as well. But roughly 25 to 30% of our costs are fuel. So when they double, our costs have to go up. Whether they change tomorrow or a month from now or a year from now, they have to go up to reflect those costs.
And it's not immediate to reduce it. If the price of diesel fuel went down by a quarter per gallon, your costs are still going to remain high, I assume, for a period of time. It doesn't change daily, does it?
The cost of fuel may change daily, but we fuel up one of these vessels with, you know, 40, 50,000 gallons of diesel fuel. You know, you've now bought into that fuel. So it doesn't change, even though the price of fuel changes daily, we don't, the contractual terms with our customers vary anywhere from a spot basis, which is daily, to monthly and sometimes quarterly adjustments for fuel.
Is there anything worse than, in terms of inflation, than a jump in the price of diesel?
It's hard to find something that is worse, Brian.
Did anybody, you or anybody in your industry, your customers, on this entire river, see this energy and fuel price spike coming?
No, we didn't see it. I mean, not even the people who hedge fuel, the people who forecast futures for fuel, saw anything rising as significantly as we saw this. And that's how we run our models, based on what the futures are for fuel. And so no one saw this type of exponential doubling of fuel in such a short period of time.
Now, Ellis said that even with this, moving goods on barges is still one of the most economically effective modes of transportation per mile, but also that every single business cost has been hit by inflation. Are you seeing the impact of what's happening over there here on the Mississippi River?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our whole import business and bringing it from you know, accumulating in New Orleans, that our customers had to change their supply source, right? They had to source it from somewhere else. And so they're going to Brazil, they're going all over the world to try to find substitutes, or they're using more scrap steel in the case of our steel mills, right? It has affected our business tremendously because it has changed. It's not coming from the Ukraine and Russia. It's having to come from all over other parts of the world and other parts of our country.
Well, if I were to pull a Tom Sawyer and get in a boat and head down this way, I would eventually hit your hometown of Red Stick,
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, yeah.
Garyville, all these big refineries.
Oh, yes.
They're some of your big customers.
Absolutely.
So it's not just grains, it's also refined products. So that refinery, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, they'll refine products that'll ship out or go someplace else in America. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the chemical process will come to
Absolutely.
One of your barges and come up north.
Absolutely. They move on our main line, right, which is our, you know, our big boats moving 44 barges. They'll come right here to St. Louis area, Cairo area. We call it a big interchange port. Mm. And they'll be stationed here, staged here, and then they'll move either, you know, up to Ohio, up to, you know, which is Pittsburgh, Chicago, Illinois, yeah, and then St. Paul on the Upper Miss.
So safe to say, Mike, that when you, or by the way, your competitors around here too,
yeah,
all great people, hardworking,
yeah,
making things work, when you get hit by 40, 50% cost increases, every customer and consumer, end user, buyer at Walmart, whatever it may be, farmer, is going to feel it.
They're going to feel it. It's just a matter of whether they feel it tomorrow, they feel it next month, next quarter, or next year. But they're going to feel it, because we can't run this business by doubling our fuel, which is 25 to 30% of our business, and expect to eat that. So it's got to be passed on, or we just don't move, right? So, and if we don't move, America doesn't move.
I'm happy to be here in my mom's hometown.
Yeah.
She grew up here as a kid.
Yeah.
Can you leave us a little optimism? I mean, it's a little,
you know,
scary out there right now.
It is scary, but you know, I think from a standpoint of our nation has been a very resilient nation. And it's, when I say resilient in terms of finding the right supply demand, I mean, that's what we've done. It's how we built this country, right?
Yeah.
And so whether it's a chip for an automobile, I have a feeling that we're going to have very smart industrial people in our country who are going to rely more on Americans to produce what we consume in this country and less on the rest of the world.
Well, big thanks to Mike Ellis and his whole team there down in St. Louis. And, you know, it's a world that we don't talk about very much, but we probably should, because it is so important, not only this area, the entire Mississippi, but really all of America in general. All right, thanks to Mike and his team. All right, up next on our special Inflation USA, we are going to go back to the markets and your money and getting you caught up on everything that happened on a very busy, oh, and by the way, very green market day. Plus, we'll talk more about why energy really is the everything story when it comes to inflation. Stick around.
Went to Pennsylvania to Utah. Now we're going back north through Illinois to visit my daughter,
okay,
back home to Pennsylvania. I probably spent $2,200 on gas, which just 2020, it probably would have cost me maybe 1,200. So I've asked my words. I have some choice words, but I'm not going to say them on camera.
All right, welcome back to the CNBC Special Hour. Inflation, USA, hitting how higher prices are beginning to impact America's economy. And, of course, it all does start with energy, because energy is not just a part of the economy. In many ways, energy is the economy. And that's a problem right now. Natural gas prices, they're up 200% in just 1 year. That is going to send electricity prices higher, but it is way more than just that. Natural gas is a key input into thousands of products you may not even realize. Everything from plastics to medicine and pharmaceuticals to cell phones, chemicals, cosmetics, house paint, even in some solar panels. So when natty gas goes up, it slams nearly everything. We're at the highest price in 14 years. Last time we had these prices, right as the economy began sinking after the housing bubble popped in 2008. So that is natural gas. Let's talk about gas. Well, you put in your car because it's nearly Memorial Day weekend and the traffic is already starting to pile up, and so are your costs. This year's weekend commute is going to cost you about 50% more than last year. The average price of a gallon of gas right now is $4.59. Last year it was just $3.03. Of course, if you're in California, you're laughing at us right now. You'd love to see $4.59. You're probably paying $6 or up. These gas prices may be benefiting certain oil companies and refiners, but they are taking their toll on so many stocks related to consumer spending. Look at these year-to-date drops. Rite Aid, down 62%. Bed Bath & Beyond lost 41%. Starbucks, dealing with a double whammy and higher coffee prices, down 36%. And even the giant and former market darling Amazon has lost 33% of investor value this year. What is not just, of course, gas and oil that are surging. Grains and farm commodities are also up in price. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all up big in the past year. Wheat especially hit because Ukraine, a major producer and exporter. And exposed to all of this globally is CNH Industrial. They are the parent company of Case and Case IH, tractors and bulldozers, with a huge presence right here in Davenport, Iowa, and around the world. Let us bring in Scott Wine. He is CEO of CNH Industry, and he joins us as a former CEO of Polaris. Scott, it's great to have you, even remotely. We appreciate you coming on. You're in Ukraine. You are in Europe. You're in Latin America. You're in the United States. You have truly got a global view, because inflation is a global phenomenon. What do you see from your perch right now?
Well, Brian, I give you a lot of, first of all, thanks for having me on. But you were one of the early ones to see inflation rise, especially you called out the European energy crisis. And really, we're very global. We've got about 37% of our revenue here in North America and 37% in Europe and the rest in South America and our Asia Pacific region. We see strong demand across the globe, but that's being offset by a very difficult supply chain. And when you put those two things together, it really does start to drive a lot of the inflationary prices that we're seeing. And, fortunately, we're able to have a better, for six quarters in a row, we've had price over cost. So it's a difficult environment. We're really proud of the way the team's handling it. But certainly I do not see the situation with supply chain or inflation getting better anytime soon.
Well, I hate to hear that, but I do appreciate the compliment. Here's the thing, Scott. Your tractors and, the Puma series and everything else, they're made of metal and steel and aluminum. And I just don't know if most people, and why would they, by the way, understand the amount of energy, electricity, power it takes to make aluminum, to bend metal, to build the machines that you and so many others make. How much of your costs change just in really the last 6 months or so?
We've seen, almost $1 billion of additional cost come into our business in 2022. And, you hit it right on the head. Our foundries, early after the invasion of Ukraine, many of our foundries in Europe said they were going to shut down and not operate. So, we had to navigate and work with, their other customers to make sure that we were in agreement and being able to accept the additional charges. But foundries had such an increase in electricity costs, they didn't believe they could possibly pass it on, so they just wanted to shut down. So that's how difficult it's been. Pig iron coming out of you know, the Russia is more difficult to find now. And, you know, we've gone all over the world to find those things and bring them into our suppliers so we have access. So it's a very difficult environment, but it does take a lot of ingenuity, good critical thinking. And I'm extremely proud of the way the team's handled it. It's really, I think there's a, unfortunately, the rest of the world doesn't celebrate Memorial Day, but everybody needs a little time off right now because they're working. Got one of our plant managers has taken one day off all year. That's not what we like to see, but it's the dedication that we appreciate.
Yeah, it's just, listen, just everybody, the last 2 years, really, Scott, everybody deserves about a month off. You know, I got schooled yesterday, right? I was speaking to some folks that own farms, and I thought, well, hell, all these commodity costs are up, so that means the farmers are going to be making more money, and I got quickly shut down, and deservedly so. And they said, no. Even though grain costs are up, the cost of fertilizer up more, the cost of interest rates, if you've borrowed money to buy your farm, is up more. In fact, it's going to be harder despite rising prices. So where does CNH come into that? You know, how are you seeing your big farmer customers doing economically right now? Because commodity prices are up, but the cost of fertilizer has tripled.
Yeah. The soft commodity prices are incredibly helpful. Corn, soybeans, all at near record levels. So that certainly helps. You don't know what the forward prices of those are going to be. So I think the farmers are always a little bit anxious about, you know, committing too much. But what I will tell you, I think you were probably more right than you expect. We still expect farm incomes to be up slightly year over year. We believe that with soft grain prices as well as they are, and some of the, you know, you ask what we can do. The precision tools that we offer farmers really allow them to use less fertilizer, use less input cost, which gives them better, you know, overall income if they can manage it properly. There is the weather. It was a late planting season throughout, you know, much of the U.S. But remember, the U.S. is only about just a little bit less than 20% of the tillable acreage in the world. So really, when you think about bringing offline, you know, Ukraine and Russia and some of the others, it does have more of an impact than sometimes we realize. So I think it's up to us and all of the other equipment manufacturers to navigate the supply chain, Get the equipment to the farmers so they can ultimately get the grains to the producers and out to the kitchen tables that you talk about all the time.
You know, prior to taking this job, Scott, you were the CEO of Polaris, and we spoke with you often on CNBC. We appreciated it. And a few years ago, I came down to visit you at your Huntsville, Alabama facility, and we talked about higher costs then. I mean, I imagine they've gone way up. And you're not going to talk about Polaris now. I get it. You don't run it anymore. But we talked about tariffs at the time. And tariffs, particularly from China, they still exist. Nothing has changed. The administration has changed, but those tariffs still exist. From where you sit, you think those tariffs should be removed?
No, I think and you and I talked about it. I think the design of tariffs to try to have a deleterious impact on China is probably the right thing to do because of the unfair trade practices. It is absolutely the wrong tool to do that. I was against it during the Trump administration. I'm against it now. Fortunately, it does not have the same impact on CNH Industrial, where we source is much more global and not as dependent upon China specifically. We're, you know, a lot of our equipment we make in the region where we sell it. But really, tariffs need to go away. In this inflationary environment, every tool we have to bring that down to make prices for consumers cheaper, we should take advantage of. And I think decreasing tariffs now would be a great way to do that.
And maybe you could leave us a little optimism because CNH, I mean, honestly, Scott, I'm trying to think of a more global company than you guys. You've got revenue everywhere. You might have revenue in Antarctica, for all I know, maybe, but at least it's six continents, maybe not seven. You're headquartered in London. You're technically based in the Netherlands. You trade here and in Italy as well. Do you see a global recession in the next 12 to 18 months?
Well, you asked for something optimistic. And what I'll tell you is our order books are very strong. The demand for our products is as good as we've seen it. And even our construction business is having, you know, really exceptional performance right now. We are planning for a recession in 2023. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we're going to be prepared if it does. I think there's just too much lining up with China shutting down and talk about, you know, layoffs in their tech sector, interest rates rising, yeah. You know, the Fed talking about 50 basis points several more times this year. So we're going to be prepared for it. We do think the ag cycle has probably got more legs in the overall economy with inventories being rather low, but we're not going to be surprised if recession does come in 23.
There's different kinds of recessions, Scott. Lots of short ones, and there's long, deep, painful ones. I know it's hard to say exactly what type you might be predicting, but if you had to say, would it be a couple years or more just sort of a short cycle one to tamp down inflation?
Well, I think, you know, we had a really short cycle one during the pandemic, but, you know, typically with this kind of inflation, it's probably going to take a little bit of while to get through the economy. So I would imagine this is going to be more, at least the average is what, you know, 12 to 18 months. And I doubt we're going to get by with much shorter than that. The Fed does not have the firepower that they used to have, and the ability to go back to zero, rate in scenario is kind of dangerous when inflation is running as hot as it is. So I think we've got to be mindful and careful about navigating forward. And that's what we're planning to do.
Yep. Yeah. Unless the Federal Reserve and Jay Powell can open up a new fertilizer plant in the next 3 months, I think you're right. I'm not exactly sure what kind of power they may have. Scott Wine, really appreciate you joining us here. CNH Industrial. Scott, thank you so much for your input.
Brian, hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Well, CNH. All right. Thank you very much. All right. CNH shares, by the way, rising today along with the macro markets. Despite all this talk about inflation, it was a good day. The Dow today up more than 500 points. The NASDAQ and tech stocks seeing the biggest boost, closing up about 2.7%. More than 40 S&P 500 companies today rising more than 5%, led by huge gains in Dollar Tree, Dollar General, and Norwegian Cruise Lines, of course, all consumer-related companies. So it's actually been a pretty good few days and what has been a pretty lousy year for most stocks and investors. Even with today's gains, sorry to say, the NASDAQ still down 25% in 2022. All right, coming up, we're going to switch gears and talk banks, regional banks, banks you may use right here in Davenport, Iowa. How are they seeing and feeling and dealing with the impact of inflation? That's next.
Fertilizer costs are the negative, but the price of the commodities are up.
But they're not enough. They're not up enough to offset the cost of the fertilizer. The inputs still outweigh the cost that the market's going up.
Farmers are going to have a tough time.
Correct. Very. It'll be very hard.
All right, welcome back. Inflation is hitting people's wallets directly all around America. And many regional banks, banks that you may use, are seeing the impact of it. Quad City Bank is the largest community bank in this area. And we spoke with the CEO about how he has been able to measure the impact of inflation and what stage we may be at right now.
If you look at it maybe on a continuum, what's happening right now is people are talking about inflation. They're probably even complaining about it when they're filling up their gas tank or they're going to the grocery store. But at this stage, it's talk. It isn't action yet on people pulling back. So I think we're still in that first stage. We saw a fairly big influx in deposits during the pandemic. Most of that was through PPP, and it was also through the government stimulus. And we tracked that pretty closely. We are still seeing elevated deposits. So people are spending money, but they still have a fair amount of money in their banking accounts. It's amazing to me the stories I hear in the real estate market. I always thought when you hear the stories about people spending more than the list price, that was something that happened on the coasts. That's now happening here in the Quad Cities. That's probably been the biggest surprise to me.
So he's talking about real estate. And speaking of real estate, the sector is also one of the more obvious areas around inflation with record sale prices along with record demand across the country. I mean, just try to buy a house in most markets. You better come with a lot of cash and be willing to forego any contingencies. Well, we spoke with Chris Beeson. He is the president of Rule and Rule, which is the oldest real estate company west of the Mississippi. Last year was the firm's best year ever with $1.2 billion in sales. So we asked Chris about whether or not he has been feeling the impact of inflation on his real estate business.
Inflation has certainly been on top of everybody's mind, and it's been a big topic of conversation We're seeing it impact different businesses in different ways. People are feeling it, but it hasn't significantly impacted our business just yet. There still seems to be a very strong demand for homes, and that's keeping things moving in the housing industry. We're very fortunate in the Midwest here to have be lagging in some of the national trends. So still very strong. We still have really good demand, which is keeping prices up. We never had the as much of a fluctuation as there was in some of the other more populated areas and on the coast. So it's a little more slow and steady. We have certainly have a lot of the same challenges that other parts of the country are having, but just not as severe. So we are very much a seller's market.
We also asked Chris if home prices have gone up too far, too fast, and what he hopes to see out of real estate.
It needs to slow down. It's been artificially stimulated for a while, and it's going to be a great thing if we get back to 2018, 2019 numbers, which is much more normalized. And in the long term, that's going to be healthy for everyone involved.
Now, it's not just the real estate market seeing record high prices. It's also all the stuff it takes to build a home as well. Home builders themselves have been seeing input prices skyrocketing. Lumber prices have gone up since the beginning of the year. And many of these stocks have gone in the opposite direction as rates rise. Lennar, D.R. Horton, Toll Brothers, and others all seen their stocks down 20 to 30% since January. Now, that input squeeze, combined with the record demand that Chris just talked about, is pushing housing prices higher and higher and higher, hitting the average American family's pocket. In fact, Redfin found the average monthly mortgage payment is now 43% higher than just 1 year ago, 43%. So we know, of course, you know, that inflation is a big economic issue. So maybe the bigger question right now is how long it's going to last. Well, we asked the true experts, and that is you. We're going to give you your answers coming up as we belly up to the bar and get ready to talk about what it's like to run a business like this right now. That's next. All right, welcome back. All hour long, we have been coming to you from the Front Street Brewery and Tap Room, a great restaurant and pub right here in Davenport, Iowa. And business has been good lately. Running a small business like this is not just about inflation. It's also about workers and wages and weird shortages of important products. So let's wrap up our hour with Tim Baldwin. He's the co-owner of Front Street Brewery here in Davenport. And first off, thanks for having us. We jammed up your place, and we appreciate Fantastic. You having CNBC here, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Is there anything at all that's gone down in price in the last year or two?
Nothing I can think of.
Nothing.
Not a thing, no.
T-shirts?
No.
Beer?
No, certainly not beer. No.
Food?
No, certainly not food.
How bad is it with inflation right now?
It's been tough. We've hung out as long as we could. May 1st, we had to finally increase the price of a pint of beer. Between trucking costs, the cost of grain, the cost of inputs, our labor cost, everything's gone up, and it finally forced us to raise the price of a pint of beer.
And are your suppliers coming to you and say, "Hey, Tim, I'm sorry, man, I gotta raise the prices.
Yeah, they are.
I gotta raise the grains. The glasses, whatever it may be."
When it comes to the input cost for beer, they don't give us much notice. It's just, here's the next shipment, and this is what it's going to cost this time.
You don't have a say?
No, we really don't have a say when it comes to the beer production. Now, when we're talking about our restaurant and the foods that we source locally, we do work very closely with our local suppliers and negotiate those prices. So we're all in the same boat here locally.
Do you have any wiggle room on prices?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, especially with our local suppliers, particularly when we're talking about beef and chicken and proteins that are raised right here in the Quad Cities. It's a give and take because we both need to survive and get through this period of time.
So what are they? I mean, you know what's going on. You live here, but what are they telling you? Sorry, it's fertilizer costs.
Yeah, fertilizer
costs.
Sorry,
it's feed.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's trucking.
All the above. Fertilizer.
D. Cost. All the above.
Yeah, all the above. Absolutely. So their input costs go up. That product they produce from us has to go up. It's got to break somewhere.
What I'm worried about, though, Tim, I'm telling you, is like fertilizer prices spiked late last year.
Yeah.
Those crops are planted this spring. I don't know if food inflation has gone through the cycle yet because a lot of the stuff we're growing to eat
is still growing.
Right, right.
Do you think it could get worse before it gets better?
I think it could. And, you know, we do the best we can to forecast that and prepare for it. We change our menu out twice a year. We're in the middle of that right now. We had probably a half a dozen items on that menu that had to be adjusted price-wise, or modify the product so we could reduce some of the costs. For example, our price of spring mix, our lettuce, the spring mix has gotten out of hand, so we're modifying
lettuce.
And we're building our own salad now by taking some of the spring mix and adding in some spinach that's lower cost to reduce the overall cost and not have to increase the cost of the product to the customer.
Listen, restaurants, obviously some of the toughest businesses in America to run, maybe the toughest on so many levels. But it's also like the most widely owned. So you run a successful business. And by the way, you're open now, too, so don't give away too much. But for a lot of our viewers that are watching tonight that may be struggling in the restaurant business, like Pee Wee's, we talked to them in Rock Island yesterday across the river. Got any advice for them? It's a tough time.
You know, stick with it. Get creative.
Like what you just did with the menu.
Just like what we did, had to do with the menu and modifying the product to still provide a high-quality product and not have to price ourselves out of the market.
Well, the price of transportation, I'm told, is going up, and cue the train,
right?
Which I'm told is a discount on drinks.
It is.
The train whistle goes off, it's a discount on drinks. That's actually what I'm told. So there you keep blowing that every time the train whistle goes. So we're trying our best to downplay inflation, or at least that train is. And really just thanks again for having CNBC here in Davenport, Iowa, Front Street Brewery and Tap Room. I know you got two locations, and I hope all of our viewers that come here support you and your team.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much,
Brian. No, thank you very much. All right, so before we wrap up our Inflation USA special, as the train chugs on by, let's take one more look at where the averages are right now after a good day on Wall Street, because futures, they are trading. Of course, they are very thinly traded at this hour, but there is an early look at the action. We are seeing slight red across the board in what was a very, very good day. So we got a couple minutes left. Tim, can I trouble you for a little bit longer?
Oh, sure. I thought we were wrapped up.
So did I. I thought we were out of time as well. Then they're like, hey, we got 2 minutes. You know what we call that? Show inflation. Show inflation. He's got the mic back on. So there we go.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Here's the thing. You get set. I want to do this Twitter poll because, obviously, we like to listen. That's why we're here. We like to listen to the people. And so went out and put out a Twitter poll about just how long inflation may last. And we didn't go to all the economic experts. We went to the expert experts, and that is you. And that we asked, how long do you guys think that inflation will last? Is it going to be a couple of months, 6 to 12 months, longer than a year, or is it going to jam us up into recession? There's your poll. So guess what? Maybe some good news here, sort of. 35% of you think inflation at this level will only last about 6 to 12 more months. Not that long, okay? 33% of you said, more than a year. You got 10.5% saying not long, probably because of recession. And 21% of you said a few more months. Honestly, I hope that first answer is the right one. So I'm going to poll you, Tim. Put you on the spot. It's not a game show. Don't worry. If you had to answer that poll from where you see as a business owner, how long do you think this crippling inflation may last?
Well, I'd like to think we're going to be over the hump, after this growing season, say. Maybe another 12 months. That's kind of our expectation.
Is that maybe it's going to go on for a little bit longer?
It's possible. Okay. Yeah. We're hoping not.
We're hoping not as well.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you very much. Thanks for answering
you.
The Twitter poll, by the way, in person. And that's it for us tonight on our CNBC special, Inflation USA. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're doing well. The news with Shepard Smith begins right now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.